I love a good spritz of perfume as much as any woman, but those delightful scents that enchant our noses may actually not make sense when it comes to our health. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht, back with some alarming new findings on perfume after this.
Is your email box overrun with spam? With a StartMail account, you'll never have to give your real email address to a stranger again. Online shopping, newsletter subscriptions, getting that 30% off coupon, they all need your email address. But with StartMail, you can invent new addresses or aliases linked to your inbox behind the scenes and give those out to people while keeping your real address hidden. It's just one more protection from StartMail.com.
Perfume, hairspray, nail polish, what do those products have in common? If your answer is that they're all part of your beauty routine, then listen up, because that's not the only way they're similar. Each of those products contains chemicals in a group called phthalates, which make scents adhere to your skin and last longer. Unfortunately, they've also been linked to health problems, ranging from heart disease and insulin resistance to cognitive impairment. Like so many other things in today's world, they're endocrine disruptors. The good news is that companies are starting to offer phthalate-free products, so be sure to read those labels. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht for StartMail.com, the private email alternative.
This is the Dr. Catherine Albrecht Show.
Raise a signal flag on a bare hilltop. Call up an army against Babylon. Raise a signal flag on a bare hilltop. Call up an army against Babylon. Wave your hand to encourage them. Wave your hand to encourage them as they march into the palaces of the high and mighty. I, the Lord, have dedicated these soldiers for this task. Yes, I have called mighty warriors to express my anger. Yes, I have called mighty warriors to express my anger. And they will rejoice when I am exalted.
Good afternoon, Catherine Albrecht here. This is the Dr. Catherine Albrecht Show, and I'm delighted to be with you. We've been, talking about new developments. Yesterday's show, I talked about the Amazon partnership with a company called BEE that makes a wristwatch, or I don't know if you call it a wristwatch, it doesn't tell time. It's a thing that goes on your wrist and listens to every single sound in its vicinity all day long. That would include the conversations you have, or the, the radio programs you listen to, or the television and movies that you watch, or the conversations you have with other people, or, really just anything that is audio in nature would be transmitted through your wristwatch, and making sense of all of that information would be onboard artificial intelligence. And actually, that's kind of a misnomer. It wouldn't actually be onboard. I don't think they can yet fit AI into that tiny, tiny space. They can fit microphones, and they can fit transmission, so Wi-Fi transmission, like in your cell phone. So you would have this thing on your wrist, it would be picking up all the sounds, and it would be transmitting those sounds through the internet to the cloud, and then in the cloud, the artificial intelligence would be able to listen to you, make sense of you, make sense of what it was you heard, answer questions about it, and ultimately, I believe, be used to monitor everybody all the time. So I guess you'd have to write a note to people in your vicinity, and until they put it in your glasses and make you wear them and actually see the things your eyes see. It's so creepy. Well, today I want to talk about the march of technology and specifically with regard to our food. So I mentioned, I think last week, that I am writing a book, and I've had writer's block for a full year, and it has been lifted as soon as I made the decision that I'm just going to write this book. And unlike other books, because I co-authored the book Spy Chips on RFID with Liz McIntyre, this book's a little different. This book is about, in a nutshell, its working title is From the Garden to the Beast, and it is about what happened in the Garden of Eden back when humanity chose to eat, our ancestors, Adam and Eve, chose to eat from the forbidden fruit, the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, against disobeying God, against his, not only his directions, but also his warning that if you eat that, you will surely die. Well, along came the devil in the form of a snake and said, no, you won't surely die. In fact, the reason he doesn't want you to eat that is because if you do, you will have this knowledge, and that knowledge will make you like gods yourself. You won't need God anymore. You will become gods. You'll have the powers of God, the knowledge of God. And so, of course, they made that decision. They democratically elected Satan as the ruler of this world. He is the sovereign of the human race and of the planet Earth. He is the prince of this world, as Jesus informed us and as we know from the Bible. And that is not because he just came in and, you know, threw his weight around and took over. No, that is because Adam and Eve chose to allow him. They chose to put him in charge. So they kicked God off the throne and they put Satan on the throne. Well, they thought they were putting themselves on the throne. That's really the issue. They thought that they didn't need God on the throne, that they could become gods themselves and be on the throne themselves. Of course, that throne is in the spiritual realm. That throne is not here on earth. It's not a physical throne that you can actually sit on. The only throne in our lives in the spiritual sense has to be occupied by a spiritual sovereign, and you choose. So each of us born into this world, we are born into the world that is already run by the prince of this world, right? The sovereign of this world. When you're born as a baby, you don't decide which side you're going to be on. This is just the side you're born into. That's who kind of owns this place. So just like when babies are born, you know, if a baby's born in France, well, he gets a French citizenship. Like it or not, that's the citizenship he gets because that's where he was born. And likewise with every other country and, all around the world. So when every baby, every person listening to my voice, every person in the world was born, we were all born under the sovereignship of Satan. And that's a dark thing, but that explains a lot, doesn't it? It explains why this world is just seems to be getting worse and worse, why this world is dominated by corruption and lies and people taking advantage of other people, and the darkness that has always been with humanity, the darkness in the human heart, the sin, the sinful nature of people. And that is because that is the corruption that came into the world. That is who is in charge of this world. And yeah, that's how it was for quite a long time until Jesus Christ came and gave people an opportunity to switch their, the sovereign passport, the passport, the nation of whose passport they carried, with their ID picture on it, we get to change citizenship. We don't have to be citizens of the devil's world. We have an option of rejecting, renouncing, and eliminating that citizenship, and instead voluntarily taking on the citizenship of heaven, of Jesus Christ. So that's a decision that every human heart gets to make. It's offered freely to every single person. People who reject it, who choose not to do that, they just keep the same citizenship they were born with, and that's the dark one. So in exchange for that, and I'm thinking about this a lot because I've been writing this up for my book. And what I was saying makes this book a little different from the book on RFID from Spy Chips is that for this book, I don't have to do a whole bunch of research. These are things that I have known and have been saying to saying on the radio, saying to my kids, saying to my friends, saying to really anybody who would listen and ask the question. This is just information that is in my heart. It is basic to how I see the world. And so writing this book, unlike Spy Chips, where I had to go out and say, okay, what are they doing? Let's look at the patents. Let's see the research. Let's do the, you know, this is very different. This is just me sitting down and writing up what I already know to be true. And in the process of doing that, I want to be sharing these thoughts. Of course, a lot of them you already know because they're just my thoughts and I share them all the time on the show. But also in light of the news cycle, in light of what we're seeing out there, including the story that came across my desk today, some new research out on food. Now, in order to, I want to set the context. I want to set the groundwork for the story that I'm about to tell you. In light of that narrative, in light of that understanding of what happened in the garden, that Satan came along and said, you know, you can be gods yourselves, and essentially broke the world. Satan didn't break the world. He would love to break the world at all times in all ways that he can, but it was really Adam and Eve whose choice broke the world. It broke it in such a way, as the Bible describes in Genesis, that now the world is an unfriendly place for human beings. Now we have to eke out a living. Now the earth is going to be fighting against us. This planet, which was absolutely perfectly crafted to be a beautiful, wonderful, cooperative place with us. The ground was going to cooperate. The plants were going to cooperate. The animals were going to cooperate. It was all ready made and set. Because of that, God says, now the earth is going to fight against you. You're going to have to toil. You're going to have to work to get your food. You're going to have to, you know, fight against weeds and weather and all of these other things that weren't even here before, but that's a choice you made. So because of that, I view it as really the devil came along and struck a deal that was the essence of breaking our legs, taking away what we had, and then offering us, I don't know, some crutches so we could get around anyway. All right, stay tuned.
Why are most email programs free? Companies use them as bait to lure people into their system so they can scan their data and sell them to advertisers. It's like a hotel giving out free rooms so they can film people sleeping and then sell the video. You'd never agree to that. StartMail restores your privacy. No one but you sees your sensitive data, and it costs less than a postage stamp a week. StartMail.com. It's email you can trust. Your email is your business, but if it's spied on, hacked, or intercepted, it can fall into the wrong hands. The solution is encryption, a high-tech way to scramble your data so no one can read it. For years, only the technical elite could use this powerful tool, until StartMail came along. StartMail not only lets you encrypt the email you send, it encrypts your entire account. Encryption. It's just one more way StartMail.com keeps you safe.
Night watchman, how long till daybreak? Night watchman, how long till daybreak? How long will this night last? How long will this night last? Morning's coming, morning's coming, but for now, it's still night.
Hey, I'm back. Catherine Albrecht here, and that's Project of Love. All right, and I'm posting all of those along with links to the stories I talk about, and now images as well, in my chat room at catherine-albrecht.com. Click on the live chat feature, which comes up during the hour every afternoon that I'm on the air, and that is from 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time, or 2 to 3 p.m. for those of you in Mountain Time listening on KHNC 1360 AM. All right. So just taking this to the next step, and then I'm going to share the story with you. So Satan essentially said, here's the deal. You will become like gods. And when humanity took that deal, the knowledge of the knowledge of good and evil, which was that fruit, did indeed open humanity's eyes and made them aware of, made them aware they were naked. Let me actually read this. I'll read it. Just a little review here. All right. So this is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created. This is Adam and Eve when the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. And I'm going to jump down here. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will surely die." All right. Then the Lord goes on and says, "It's not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." And so he creates Eve. All right. Now jumping down a little bit, and I'm reading, this is from Genesis 2 right here. All right. Let me just go up. All right. The fall. This is Genesis 3. "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?' The woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die.' Now the serpent responds, 'You will not certainly die, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it and gave some to her husband." All right, so that's the fall. That's the disobedience. That's the, I keep calling it the democratic election, but that's their free will choice to choose Satan's deception and his promise that they will be like gods instead of trusting in God's provision, which he was the one who made the garden. He was the one who created the fruit. He created all of that. And yet they were going to trust in this little crafty serpent instead. All right, going on down to, this is 3:17, Genesis 3:17. They hear God in the garden, and immediately they want to hide from him. Now, this is the state of all human beings who have the curse of this. You're not freed from the curse until you get rid of that citizenship card and reject the citizenship of the prince of this world of Satan that you were born into, that we were all born into, and instead take the saving citizenship of Jesus Christ. Unless you've done that, when you come face to face with God, you will have the same experience that Adam and Eve had coming face to face with God, which is shame, which is wanting to hide from him. In their case, they just wanted to hide because they knew they were naked. And I think that nakedness goes beyond just a physical nakedness. It goes to a core issue of shame in the human heart, that from that moment on, anytime a human being encounters God, sinless, perfect, good God, all we can feel about ourselves is that we fall short because we know we're not that. And so coming face to face with the ultimate perfection, we feel a need to hide. We feel a need to run to, like, I don't want that. I don't want what I really am, my weakness, my shame, my pathetic, you know, inner self, all this darkness. I don't want that exposed. And that's what Adam and Eve felt. So they wanted to run and hide from God. All right. I'll go up. I actually highlighted a different part, but I'm going to say that. The man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. All human beings with shame, with darkness in us, with corruption in us, hide from God. I think it's our natural state when we are in that place, is to hide from him. I think that's why so many people who have not made the decision to surrender themselves and be cleansed by God, want to turn from him. And I was going to say hate him. I think a lot of people do. I think a lot of people hate God. But it's not a hatred because of who he is. I think it's a hatred because of who we are. I think it's a, so many people can, like I was telling you, it happened to me in my 20s. I opened the Bible and all I saw in there was my own sin, my own uncleanness, and God's unhappiness with it. So if we come, it's so much easier in a bad way. It's so much easier to just keep to ourselves, keep our own pride, keep our own distance, keep our distance from God, rather than have to acknowledge the ways that we fall short and the corruption and the sin in us, which we must confront if we're going to interact with God. And I think that is why so many people are like, oh yeah, don't give me that stuff. I want nothing to do with God. And then instead of recognizing that the real problem in their relationship with God is shortcoming in themselves, they then turn around and say, yeah, well, you know, he's just too judgmental. He's just a meanie. He just doesn't like, you know, he's unforgiving. He's not, you know, and he's really none of those things. But God, in coming face to face with corruption, with sin, with harm, with people harming other people, with the kinds of things that sin leads to, you know, the Epstein and Diddy kind of stuff, the Hitler kind of stuff, God will judge that. That stuff cannot come up against God without having a very severe negative response to it. And when people come up, you know, encounter God or think about God or open their Bible or try to come into God's presence or even learn about him, the first thing they're going to recognize is the very thing Adam and Eve saw here, which is, yikes, I'm naked. Yikes, I'm corrupt. Yikes, there's things in me that are bad, and they're not things I want God to see. All right, so that's what happened to them. When the woman saw the Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" All right, now I'm gonna give this a little different spin. The way I understand this is that by eating from that tree, a corruption, a shamefulness, a darkness entered into the core of who Adam and Eve were. And it wasn't so much their physical nakedness, it was what that represents, the shamefulness that now you're seeing me and what you're seeing isn't good. And so I want to hide from that. All right, the man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you've done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." Now notice how the man blames, you know, Adam blames Eve. Eve blames the serpent. Nobody takes responsibility here. Now the Lord God said, he turned to the serpent and said, "Because you have done this, you are cursed above all livestock and wild animals. You will crawl in your belly. You will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, you will strike his heel." And that has been interpreted by many to be a reference to Jesus Christ, who will eventually crush him, which he has done. All right, to the woman he said, "I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labor, you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." All right, to Adam he said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it." All right, and here's the part I'm going to get to on today's show with this story about food. "Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, hard work, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you. And you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food, until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, into dust you will return." All right. So that's essentially, that's Genesis 1 through 3, actually 2 through 3, and it describes the fall, what happened in the garden to Adam and Eve. And as I was saying, this deal that was struck with the enemy, with Satan, is a deal where Satan said, "Follow me, stick with me, kid. I will give you the powers of God." And we as a species, as a human race, have been living out that promise ever since that sort of false premise. So we got our legs broken. The human race got their legs broken in the Garden of Eden. And now that we have broken legs, that the world is a difficult place to be in, that we have hardship, we have all the things that come from the corruption that we brought into the world. Now Satan comes along and says, oh, you're suffering? Well, here, have a gift that will help you with the suffering. Of course, he caused the suffering by breaking our legs. But then he goes, here's a crutch. You'll be able to get around more easily. And that is technology. Because the knowledge of good and evil that Satan has been providing to the human race ever since, that is technology. And technology is what we human beings have relied on to acquire the powers of God. Right? The power of omniscience, the power of omnipresence, the power to overcome the thistles and the thorns in the field, the power to be able to grow agriculture, the power to be able to overcome sickness and death through MRI machines and IVs and antibiotics. All of these developments that humanity has created through technology have been essentially crutches to help the human race overcome the damage that was done to us through the fall. All right, stay tuned and I'll tell you one specific example of what I'm talking about.
Is your email box overrun with spam? With a StartMail account, you'll never have to give your real email address to a stranger again. Online shopping, newsletter subscriptions, getting that 30% off coupon, they all need your email address. But with StartMail, you can invent new addresses or aliases linked to your inbox behind the scenes and give those out to people while keeping your real address hidden. It's just one more protection from StartMail.com. Why are most email programs free? Companies use them as bait to lure people into their system so they can scan their data and sell them to advertisers. It's like a hotel giving out free rooms so they can film people sleeping and then sell the video. You'd never agree to that. StartMail restores your privacy. No one but you sees your sensitive data, and it costs less than a postage stamp a week. StartMail.com. It's email you can trust.
Praise you, O Lord. You were angry with me, but not anymore. Now you comfort me. I will praise you, O Lord. I will praise you, O Lord. Angry with me, but not anymore. Now you comfort me. See, God has come to save me. I will trust in Him and not be afraid. Lord God is my strength and my song. Has given me victory, and with joy I will drink deeply from the fountain of salvation. And in that wonderful day I will sing, thank the Lord, I praise His name. Thank the Lord, I praise His name. Thank the Lord, I praise His name. Praise His name.
That's so beautiful. I love this song. And on that wonderful day, I will drink deeply from the fountain of salvation. What a beautiful song. That's Project of Love, of course, as are all of the bumper songs I'm playing this on the show these days. Absolutely wonderful. Beautiful music. It is scripture set to music and really well-made music, too. All right. So talking about the deal that humanity struck in the garden with Satan to acquire the powers of God, which then Adam and Eve really desperately needed because they had brought corruption and death into the world. They had brought difficulty upon themselves because of disobeying God, because of choosing to elect the devil, essentially. You can't elect him, put him in charge of your country, in charge of your life, in charge of your world without a whole lot of negative fallout as a result. And so that's what humanity got. And all this time, every one of these technological developments that humankind has been given has had a catch. There are no answers that we've been able to come up with through technology that have just been 100% fabulous and wonderful that have set us free. In fact, when God said to Adam and Eve, if you eat from that tree of knowledge of good and evil, and technology absolutely fits the bill, right? It's both good and evil. If you eat from that tree of that knowledge, you will surely die. Now, he didn't mean Adam and Eve, the minute you take a bite out of it, it's going to be like cyanide. You're going to fall to the ground, you know, gasping, and that's the end of you. No, what he meant is that your race, the human race, will surely die if you decide to take matters into your own hands and acquire the knowledge of good and evil in order to become like gods yourself. It's not going to work. Well, you know, isn't it interesting? Because some people would say that the human race has elevated technology to the position of a god. We worship technology in a lot of ways. If we worship technology and we look at all the benefits it's brought us, right? It's brought us so many benefits. How wonderful it is. Then how can it be? And I don't know that I could have said this at any previous time in history, but I can say it now. How could it be that this thing, which was supposed to save us, is the very thing that is destroying the planet and will kill us all? Think about that for a minute. It is so wonderful. We have all these great technologies. Well, let's talk about them. What about the technologies that made it possible to preserve food, right? I was just talking to Lori, who writes the archives, about this earlier today. I actually shared with her some of my kefir grains a little while back, and she's been enjoying making kefir. Well, what is that? Kefir is these little gelatinous blobs. I've described them before, that our ancestors used to use, and I guess we still can today, so that when you have, when you go out and you milk a cow and you've got a big container of milk and no refrigerator, all you have to do is drop these kefir grains in it, and in a day or two, you will have a delicious, fermented, yogurty-like drink called kefir. You can do the same thing with yogurt. So that is how our ancestors were able to preserve milk. You had the fresh milk right out of the cow, and you did whatever you were going to do with that. But then for the leftover milk, or the milk that you weren't going to drink right away, you used this very natural process of a preservative that God provided naturally. Those kefir grains or blobs, whatever you want to call them, are a combination of yeasts and bacteria. And what we've recently learned, and again, I couldn't have been having this conversation or doing this show, even back when I first started this radio show, I couldn't have done it, but I can say it today. What we have now learned is that the kefir production, or the sauerkraut, right, a way of saving cabbage, or the vinegar, a way of saving apples, or all of these different processes that humanity has used, kimchi if you're Korean, in order to preserve food, because we didn't have the technology of a refrigerator or the technology of the chemical preservatives, those were kind of old-fashioned, right? Well, it turns out now that all of those the bacteria, the yeast, all the things that are in there, when we eat them, they're not only good for us, they're actually essential for us. They create the microbiome, which 10 years ago, I don't even know if people knew about it. We now know that the serotonin, the dopamine, all the feel-good chemicals that keep your brain running, they all come from your gut. They don't come, I mean, your body doesn't just produce them in the brain. Your gut produces them. And get this, what is it producing them? It's those bacteria, those very self-same bacteria that were preserving our food back then, naturally. So you move to modern technology, and now we have refrigeration, so we don't need that anymore. We just take our milk and we just refrigerate it. No need to put any of those things in it, and all the rest of the food we eat as well is chemically preserved. It's preserved through a variety of different ways, and so we are not getting the basic food that was intended to feed our gut and feed our brains through the microbiome, through the fermentation process. And so on the one hand, and this gets me back to the quote that we opened Spy Chips with by a New York Times reporter from years ago, C.P. Snow, which is, technology gives you great gifts with one hand and it stabs you in the back with the other. So on the one hand, we get this technological gift of refrigeration and chemical preservatives and packaging and plastic and all the various things that we have. And yeah, on the one hand, we're like, great, now we don't have to worry about food spoilage. Now technology has overcome that. And then it's just a matter of time before we realize that by taking that gift, we have lost something essential. And now there are a lot of people struggling seriously with mental illness. And that's because we took a gift that gave us a great gift with one hand. It's great to have a refrigerator. And stabbed us in the back with the other. But by using that instead of what you were intended to use, you're going to not have your microbiome be healthy. And now we're learning that not having those things in our gut is actually doing more than just causing mental illness. It's causing a cascading effect of all the sicknesses, all of the chronic diseases that we're dealing with, all the inflammation and the pain and the sore and the stiffness. All right, I got one more that, this is the one on bread. So this article came out today, why this scientist believes bread is making us sad. If you're feeling depressed or run down, it might be time to avoid gluten. Now, her name is Deanna Kelly. She's a professor of psychiatry for mental illness research at the University of Maryland School of Medicine. And this has hit the headlines today. Her research, which she's been actually doing it for some time, she has discovered through all kinds of studies, brain studies, looking at blood flow in the brain, looking at animals in their gut, looking at a ton of things, that wheat, the gluten contained in wheat for a certain percentage of the population, and she thinks it may even be everybody, but we know it's at least 10%, it is causing massive problems with their mental health that leads to depression, foggy thinking. The list goes on and on. Now, let me tell you what I've highlighted some things here. All right. When a person with a gluten sensitivity eats something with gluten in it, even healthy, quote unquote, brown pasta or bread, their body produces antibodies to fight against the gluten. While two types of protein join to make gluten, all right, now pay attention to this because it'll come up in a minute. Gliadin and glutenin. It is the former, gliadin, that induces an immune response that can cause inflammation and can contribute to damage in the gut, which leads to the development of leaky gut. The weakened gut wall allows the antibodies to gliadin to leak out from the intestines into the general bloodstream, and when it crosses the stomach lining, the body sees it as a foreign substance. What then happens? Well, inflammation then occurs in other parts of the body in response to this this perceived poison, including a person's brain. When the antibodies fight arrives at the brain, symptoms that develop may include foggy thinking, lack of energy, and here it goes on, also poor emotional control, anxiety, mood changes, hallucinations, and seizures. All right. Tell you more in a minute.
Okay, I've been hearing a lot about the LifeWave patches, and they sound amazing. And I'm thinking I want to try them for myself. But can you tell me how they work?
Okay, well, you wear the patch, which is about the size of a quarter, 12 hours a day, 12 on, 12 off. And the patch uses your body's own light and energy and copper peptides to reactivate the dormant stem cells in your body. Once a stem cell has been reactivated, it can be used by any of the cells in your body that need it, creating a healing and growth process you haven't experienced since your youth. So in a nutshell, this is how the LifeWave X39 patch works.
You can purchase the LifeWave patches by going to AmericasFreedomNetwork.com. Then click on the Natural Health Products button at the top of the page. That's AmericasFreedomNetwork.com.
Look, this product works, and you've got nothing to lose because there's a 100% money-back guarantee.
That's AmericasFreedomNetwork.com.
People who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. Is born to us, a son is given to us, the government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father.
And that's Jesus Christ, of course, Prince of Peace. So who are the people walking in darkness? Well, from the time of bringing darkness into the world, bringing shame into their own spirit, into their own being, until the light came, and that was Jesus Christ. So from that period of time, from the garden until the advent of Jesus Christ, until he came. And just to finish what I'd been saying earlier about that, it is the natural human state to hide from God. It is the natural human state to say, who are you to judge me? I'm my member, right? To run away. Don't, whatever you do, don't judge me, because I know if you look at me, you're going to see how I'm just filled with sin and corruption and shame. The difference is that by trusting in Jesus Christ, by asking him to do it, he comes in and removes all the shame, just takes it away, just goes poof, and it's gone. I mean, if Adam and Eve at that moment in the garden had had Jesus Christ, that would have been a big fast forward. But had they been able at that moment to say, oh my gosh, we are filthy, we are ashamed, we are naked, help, help, you know, and had Jesus been there, they could have said, please cleanse us, restore us to a relationship with you, take away this corruption that we brought into the world. And that happened 2,000 years ago through Jesus Christ. So that is why Christians do not have that sense of shame. I don't have that sense of shame. I look forward to the day that I will come face to face with God and I will say, you know what? I still have a lot. Would you just remove the rest of it? And I know that I'm accepted. There is no judgment. There is no darkness in me coming up against the perfection of God just the cold, hard, blinding light of that perfection, because Jesus Christ is the intermediary who gentles that relationship and makes it okay. So that's what, you know, if you want to know the bottom line of what Christians are on about, it is that the shame that is in the human heart, the shame that is in our lives, the inability for us to just get it right, is all forgiven, redeemed, and we are filled with the Holy Spirit, who is involved in a constant sanctification and cleansing process to just lead us more and more into fellowship, into acceptability with God. All right, so I was talking about this wheat. Let me get back to this story. So this professor, now remember before the break, we talked about two types of protein formed to make gluten, gliadin and glutenin. And the gliadin, G-L-I-A-D-I-N, never saw that word before. The gliadin is the protein in wheat gluten that the body, it leaks through the gut, and then the body freaks out and mounts an immune response, which causes inflammation. And when that reaches the brain, you get all of these symptoms. Let me read them again. Foggy thinking, lack of energy, poor emotional control, anxiety, mood changes, hallucinations, and seizures. Okay. Now, she's found all of these things. She's been researching this for some time with, like, I don't know, over 1,000 people. She goes on to explain there's a specific peptide sequence, you don't need to understand all this, called 33-MER found in wheat that's highly associated with an immune response. If you look at the structure of that, it's very similar to one of the structures of the something or other receptor in the brain. So potentially our bodies cannot tell the difference. So when your body is busy attacking this, this specific peptide sequence in the gluten, it is actually also attacking some very critical fundamental structures in your brain too at the same time. Okay. What causes depression and anxiety? Let me read on. The area of the brain called the amygdala functions to help calm fear and anxiety. People with anxiety disorders have an exaggerated amygdala response when exposed to events that evoke anxiety. Serotonin, a chemical messenger in the nervous system, part of the brain's communication system, is a key neurotransmitter involved in anxiety disorders. Now, listen to this next part. Interestingly, the gut provides approximately 95% of the body's total serotonin, and production is influenced by the particular balance of gut microbes in the individual person. Now, we know that the modern ultra-processed diet kills the microbiome. It just kills it. It just kills it dead. People who are eating an ultra-processed diet, which is the result of all this technology, right? We have technology to preserve it and make it tasty and colorful and all these things. If you eat that stuff, you will kill your gut microbiome, your balance of gut microbes. You will kill your microbiome and potentially have all of these cascading effects from not having enough serotonin. Okay. Here's the kicker, and here's what I take away from all of this. So I'm reading this article, and I'm thinking, how is this possible, right? It talks about how 20% of the world's nutrition comes from wheat, and it's everywhere. And then I'm reading all this history about the importance of wheat throughout history. Jesus broke bread and said, "This is my body, which I give, for you. Eat this in remembrance of me." So he even tells us, eat bread. So I'm like, how can it be then? Are we just now figuring out how bad for us this is? And then I get to the bottom of the article at the very end, and here's what I read. One of the reasons why gluten may now cause a more severe immune response is that there has been a sixfold increase in the gliadin content of wheat over time due to the use of high nitrogen fertilizers and how wheat is industrially processed. Okay. Doesn't this tie right back to what I was saying? Right? We were given wheat. It is healthy food. It was meant to be consumed by people. It is plentiful. It is a good source of carbohydrates and even protein and nutrients. It's good for people. And we came up through technology, right? The knowledge of good and evil. We came up with ways to produce more of it. We came up with chemical fertilizers, nitrogen fertilizers, tractors. You know, you used to have people out in the fields with their scythes, their sickles, cutting down the wheat and winnowing it and threshing it into, I don't even know all the things that they did to wheat, but that was a thing. And they had mills, and they ground the wheat into, you know, stone mills, and they ground it into flour, and they made it into bread. Okay, that process was perfectly healthy, and the bread that they made from that was good for people, just like all the other things I'm talking about. But then technology comes along, gives us a great gift with one hand, which is that now we can produce much more of it. We can process it much more efficiently with like machines and industrial mills and all the stuff. We can bleach it. We can do all these things to it. But it stabs us in the back with the other, which is all of those processes have resulted in a sixfold increase. That's 600% more than it used to have. So now the gliadin, which used to be like a small component, for all I know, maybe it was even good for people. It beats me. But now there's six times more of it, and it's making people sick. So I had to get to the end of this article in order to discover that, yet again, it just confirms every other thing that I've seen about all these technological developments, which is it gives you a great gift. Wow, better living through technology. We have so much more wheat. It's so much easier to cultivate. We have so much more free time now that humankind, now that people are not actually involved in the production of wheat. We've got big factory, you know, not factory, industrial, you know, wheat fields being covered with chemical fertilizers and glyphosate and Monsanto, this and that, genetically modified, and we're producing so much more of it. Yeah, well, that's true. That is a gift. I will admit that. It's a gift to have all of this wheat and to have overcome the curse from the garden, which is that there will be thorns and thistles and you're going to have to fight against the land to get your food. Well, the gift, right? Our legs are broken. You no longer are going to just be able to, you know, get food at will. You're going to have to work for it. That's the broken leg. And then the crutch is, oh, here's some technology. Here's modern technology for agriculture that will make it so much easier for you to produce it. And we're like, oh, hooray, what a great gift. Until we realize the backstab that comes with that gift. And the backstab is that the wheat we have now, so plentiful and so wonderful, can't even be eaten. It is killing us and making us sick. And that goes on and on and on. So what an irony that the very gift that humanity was given through technology to make our lives so wonderful, and I think everybody now would recognize, is the thing killing the planet, is the thing that's going to wipe out the human race. If you eat from that tree of good and evil, right, the gift and the backstab, you will surely die. Well, we're living on that planet right now. All right. I'll give you good news about this tomorrow, Good News Friday. So we'll wrap it up with a nice shiny positive bow, because this is not all negative. All right. Talk to you then. God bless you. Bye-bye.